Welcome back to That 590 Show. I am your host, Matt Berger. To my right is a very hyperactive Matt Rocchio, going on and on and on about Bruce Bowen. John Giamatti Rudolph is behind the dials. Joining us, though, right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the lead baseball writer for KMOV.com. You can follow him on Twitter at the JJ Bailey. JJ, how are you, sir?
I'm excellent. How are you boys doing?
Good. Can't complain at all. So what did we learn about this Cardinals team during that weekend series against the Chicago Cubs where they won 2 out of 3? Are they maybe a little bit better than we had thought they were going to be, or still kind of too early to tell yet?
I think it's a little too early to tell, but I think we definitely learned an important fact that as it stands right now in mid-May, it's undeniable that the Cardinals are a better baseball team than the Chicago Cubs today. They looked in control of that series, even in the game that they lost. It seemed almost inevitable. They kept knocking on the door, and they couldn't quite get that final run across to save themselves. But, I mean, what you saw in the two wins was one team primarily in control most of the time, and the other team looking a lot like the St. Louis Cardinals of 2016, kind of a step behind and always, you know, a mistake or two too many. And I think what we really learned from this team was the rotation, if healthy, is certainly good enough to contend against this iteration of the Chicago Cubs.
Do you think that Adam Wainwright had a little bit of an aha moment on Sunday, like, okay, you know what? I have to change the way I pitch. I'm still a good pitcher, but I can't be pitching the old way. I got to have a new way to pitch. So maybe I'm going to mix in like this, kind of like an Ephus pitch, like this 65-mile-per-hour curveball in with this 93-mile-per-hour fastball. Do you think that he had a little bit of an aha moment? Because that's the best he's looked in probably maybe a calendar year.
It certainly looked that way. I think we've been, you know, I hate to say this, but we've been burned before on buying into the Adam Wainwright aha moment. You know, last year was a series of those. And never quite got to the place where he could replicate it consistently. But what we saw in that last start was a guy that figured out with what he has how to get outs. And that's always been his best weapon is his brain, not his stuff. His stuff is good, but he's always been able to leverage that stuff in terms of approaches and sequencings. And what we saw was the very first time this season, maybe, that Adam Wainwright had a plan, stuck to the plan, and the plan was effective the whole way through. So I'm not sure that, you know, that's a harbinger of several more starts like that to come, but I am saying that it's certainly clear that he's not believing that, you know, his cutter is about to be the way it was, or his curveball is about to be the way it was. What we're seeing now is a guy saying, I know what I have today, and I'm just going to focus on what's the best order of those pitches in each of these at-bats to get me through 6-7 innings. And when you do that against an offense like the Cubs, man, that's good proof of concept.
Absolutely. And I guess you could say the other big discovery over the road trip and the weekend was Cardinals outfielder Mag Sierra, who was basically a single A, double A player. They call him up, and he looks like if he were to play all year, he'd make a 10 for rookie of the year. And the way Tommy Pham's been playing lately, I understand he's always streaky. When he's hot, there's maybe not a hotter hitter in baseball, but when he goes ice cold, he goes deep freeze. You have Piscotty coming back, and then you have Jose Martinez coming back. What do you do with this abundance of wealth that you have in the outfield?
Well, I think that for Tommy Pham, you know, this kind of has the hallmark, you know, the traits of the year of, like, it's either sink or swim. You know, he said it a couple times, it's a performance-based business. He knows he has to perform to stick. I think what he's done at his time here means that he certainly makes the decisions tougher for the Cardinals. And, you know, if I was Matt Adams, I might be perspiring a little bit right now because they got to make a lot of room here in the next few days. And right now, you know, Mag Sierra and Tommy Pham are electric. The fans love them. The offense certainly loves them. John Lester hates them. I think Tommy Pham has certainly earned himself a longer stay if these guys come back off the DL. And Mag Sierra has been phenomenal, but as you said, you know, he was a high A player, a strong spring, but not exactly ready to knock on everyday MLB playing time. So you can see where Mag Sierra might get sent down, because Mozeliak has been very clear that young players like that, they play. And if they're not going to play here, they're going to play somewhere else because time is what they need. But you start looking at you know, are you really willing to send Tommy Pham down right now, given his dynamism in the outfield?
I'm not,
no. Able to do at the plate? So maybe it's Matt Adams. You know, maybe it's a guy, you know, and it's unfortunate for Matt Adams, who has performed as well as he could, but we know he can't play outfield, and we know that there's already a left-handed option at first base. He makes more sense than Tommy Pham right now.
And when I look at a bunch of players like this that are in the outfield, where we have, where the Cardinals have almost, like you could say, an embarrassment of riches, it's good to know that trading, when the trade deadline comes, if you need to make a move to get a, you know, a front of the rotation pitcher or maybe a big bat, that you have pieces that can be dealt.
Yeah, absolutely. They have the resources. Not only do they have them in terms of potential down there, and that's to say nothing of guys like Harrison Bader, who all spring long looked like, holy cow, this guy might be able to make it this year. And Mag Sierra, who you got to show off a little bit at the major league level, they also have proven assets on their major league roster that if they had to move them, they could. Now, I don't know how many people would sign up for a Stephen Piscotty trade, especially now that he's under cost control, or a Randall Grichuk trade, but certainly you can say that there's a good fistful of pieces there that if they needed to make a move, if they had an injury or they thought they were a piece away, they've demonstrated value for all of their pieces now. And they've also demonstrated that if one of those pieces or two of those pieces go down, they have more in the tank. And that's where you want to be when if you're the St. Louis Cardinals right now heading into this trade deadline. I know it's some time away, but you want to know that you have proven value not only at the major league level, but a step down and perhaps even a step below that.
Let's talk about tonight's contest between against the Boston Red Sox. 19-18 on the year. This was kind of a sexy pick going into the season of the team that was going to represent the American League in the World Series, if not outright win it. But right now, 19-18 on the year, they've had some injuries. They're almost like the Chicago Cubs of the American League, the team that a lot of people thought was going to be a juggernaut, but have kind of sputtered coming out of the gate.
Yeah, I was one of those people that lined up in the Red Sox camp. You know, you look at what they had on the mound and what they had at their position options and then their bullpen, you know, it was awful hard to see a challenger in the East. And just like Chicago, what you've seen is a team that's kind of on a seesaw. You know, one game they look like the team that was promised, and the next game they look completely lost. And they have some good talent. Certainly they have young talent, which is exciting, but that's the one commodity that you can't, count on, because young talent can falter. They can wear down, or they can just get overwhelmed. And that's where Boston's kind of sitting right now. You know, Rodriguez is coming off four quality starts, and they had what I think it was Mookie Betts just was, again, AL Player of the Week. But these are pieces that, you know, a championship, they do not make a championship. You have to have consistency, and what they're not getting right now is all those proven commodities, those ones that you penciled in for the 20 wins or, you know, the 305 average. Those pieces are not performing on a consistent level. And that's why the Cardinals right now, I mean, you have to give them the edge. You know, it blew my mind. I opened up the Vegas odds on the Cardinals Cubs over the weekend, and the Cardinals were, you know, -125.
Really?
Right now, they've earned the trust of the people who put their, you know, their fortunes on the line to bet on teams. They're the most consistent right now, which is not something you would have expected after a 3-9 start. But if you line up Cardinals and Red Sox, one of those teams is hitting and pitching reliably, and the other one is not.
And they're the hottest team in baseball right now, not named the Houston Astros, too, which has helped a lot as well. And the good thing is that you're kind of seeing everything come together the way that you had hoped it would, like Colton Wong. Now, I heard an interview with Colton Wong on the Midday Grind yesterday, and after you hear him, you're like, man, it's really hard not to root for this kid. And I'm glad that he is being rewarded with playing time. And I'm glad that Mike Matheny, I don't know if it's out of necessity or Mike Matheny's kind of like, you know what, screw it, let's just run the kid out there and let's just see what happens. Even if he does screw up, I'm not going to come down on him. I'm not going to, you know, get him out of the lineup or whatever. If he screws up, he's got to go out there and face the music. It's good to see Colton Wong kind of turn the season around and be the player that we all thought he was going to be.
Yeah, and I've been a Colton Wong, you can call me a Colton Wong apologist at times, but I've also been somebody who, you know, I know that, you know, you cover the team and you try and stay unbiased, but I've been a fan of Colton Wong. He's a guy that has tremendous talent, who has largely fought himself most of his career. During spring, had a good interview with him where it was about he had to accept being consistently good and, you know, and not always trying to be occasionally great. Because he wanted to be the Gold Glover that can hit 20 home runs and steal 30 bases, and that will come, but that only comes if you're consistently good. And he's been kind of fighting himself for a long time. You know, he had this vision of the player that he wanted to be, and every time he wasn't that, it compounded into the next game and the next game. And I think part of that was he's a guy that plays highly emotional, and he had a manager who favors consistency. You know, the Matt Carpenter, almost like a shark. You know, the emotionless, now I don't want to say emotionless, but it's the rote precision of consistency over and over and over. Every game is the same. And Colton Wong kind of wasn't wired that way. And I think in large part what we're seeing in his turnaround is that Colton Wong, the player, has reconciled not only with himself about what he wants to be, but also he's found more comfort with his manager. And the manager has begun to understand him a little bit better, too, that it's not about every player being the same, every day being the same. Sometimes guys require a different touch. And I think we saw that when they kind of had a blow up with the platoon thing in spring. And then, you know, a couple weeks into the season, Colton Wong said, we had our conversation. I understand my role. I understand what I'm trying to do. So I think he's found peace internally and externally. And it's amazing what it's done for him.
And everything that's going on with Colton Wong now, like the confidence that Mike Matheny is now showing in him and everything that you just said, I wish was happening in 2014 after they had lost the World Series to tonight's opponent, the Boston Red Sox. And Colton Wong was the last out of that World Series getting picked off first base. And he stood in front of his locker room with tears in his eyes and answered every single question that every reporter threw at him. And that's when I became a fan of his too.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that, like, you don't see that very often. I mean, a lot of times veterans will come out and they'll protect that guy and let him grieve in private so he doesn't have to face the cameras. But Colton Wong wanted to stand there and he wanted to answer those questions. And that's also a burden he carried for probably too long than he should have. I mean, even when he got his extension last year, or I guess his full contract last year, he talked about remembering that play and wanting to prove that he wasn't that guy. I mean, that was a burden that he was carrying for a while, and I think some of the disconnect between him and Mike Matheny was perhaps Mike thought, you know, consistency is the key. You'll get over it because eventually you'll notch, you know, 1,000 days between then and now. And Colton Wong, you know, he was determined to carry that with him. And part of this resurgence has been the understanding that, A, from him, he needs to let it go, and B, from Mike, that, you know, this is a guy that is programmed a little differently. You know, he burns white hot all the time, and so that might require a different touch. And I think they finally found the right equation for his type of talent and his type of personality.
I want to quickly go back to Magnair Sierra. I think the reason why a lot of people love watching him play is because he's a throwback to Whitey Ball, and there is not an era of baseball that more B-Fibs are in love with more than Whitey Ball. You think about the ovation that Willie McGee gets as soon as they show his face on the Jumbotron. So, I mean, he just looks like that type of Whitey Ball player where as soon as he's on first, he's a threat to get to third before you know it.
Yeah, and I think the phrase that I always use is he's the type of player that turns a headache into a migraine.
Yes.
Because a walk is a headache. A walk to Mag Sierra is a migraine. Because now it's a walk with, you know, a steal attempt is coming. And any miscue on that play means he's at third, and now a sac fly is a run. And that's what's so electric about guys like that is home run hitters get you to stand up and cheer. But even the best home run hitters, you know, they take 20, 30 at-bats between home runs. Guys like Mags, every single time he comes to the plate, it could be a bunt or a slap single or a ball that, you know, an outfielder doesn't quite cut off in time, and it's a two-base hit. You know, he is a constant source of energy and harassment for the other team, and that's what makes him so valuable. That's why the tandem of him and Tommy Pham has been so fun, because what you see is the ability for a guy's talent, just his raw talent. He doesn't have to have power. He just has to maybe have speed and the ability to connect with the ball. And all of a sudden, he takes migraines, or he takes headaches and turns them into migraines. And it's so much more fun for fans to watch that from the other side. Because in 2016, a lot of times, they watch the Cardinals deal with players like that. And now you're kind of seeing that equation from the side that has a little bit more athleticism.
Yeah, Billy Hamilton comes immediately to mind about that.
Yeah.
He was like that, too. I mean, he's a threat to you know, drag bunt and get on first base. And like you said, you can feel the migraine starting to come on. JJ, will you be able to join us here in studio on Thursday?
Oh, if you'll still have me, I'd love to be there.
Absolutely. I will send you a message with the directions or with the address, and then we'll see you on Thursday, sir.
Okay, tuxedos, I assume?
Yeah, absolutely. We're very formal around here. It's either tuxedos or it's nude. I'll let you decide what you want to be.
All right, well, I got my Derby Day suit. I'll just throw that on.
Perfect. Thanks, JJ.
All right, thanks for having me.
That is J.J. Bailey, lead baseball writer for KMOV.com. You can follow him on Twitter at the J.J. Bailey. Let's head back to that 590 show and our very own Matt Rocchio, a sports update.
The Nationals have jumped out to a 3-1 lead over the Pirates in the top of the third. Earlier today, the Braves took down the Blue Jays 9-5. And in about 15 minutes from now, the Cardinals will get underway with the Red Sox in their first game of a two-game series. Lance Lynn will take on the lefty Eduardo Rodriguez. The Cardinals lineup for tonight's game reads as follows: Fowler, Pham, Carpenter, Jerko, Molina, Diaz, Grichik, Wong, and then Lynn. Coming up in about 30 minutes on ESPN, it'll be the NBA's draft lottery, as one of your participants in the Eastern Conference Finals has the best chance to land the number one overall pick. And also in the NBA tonight, it's the Spurs and the Warriors in Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by our friend Howard Balzer from BalzerFootball.com and the Hall of Fame show on SiriusXM, the NFL channel. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.